Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Brian Maines for that introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at our new book, Answering Mormons' Questions, and we thought we would just give you a little bit of a preview as to what's inside this book to maybe pique your interest in giving it a good look. And we're looking today at Chapter 31. A question that we hear many times from Latter-day Saints is, how do you account for Joseph Smith's first vision? We have some response questions, as we do at the beginning of all the chapters, and one of the response questions is this: do you believe Joseph Smith saw God's actual person, or was this a mental apparition? Now, why do we ask that question? Because when you hear the phrase first vision, you usually think this is a mental apparition, that Smith is seeing this take place. And if I was to, for instance, be walking by while Joseph Smith was having this vision, I would not be able to see what he claims to see. Is that what happened? Now, many Latter-day Saints that I've talked to, many Latter-day Saints that you've talked to, Eric, when we talk about the first vision, they look at that as the actual person of God coming down in front of Joseph Smith. And some have said, not all, but some have said that this physical presence of God the Father and Jesus is what gives credence to the idea that God has a body of flesh and bones, although we have no record of Joseph Smith ever touching the person of God the Father or Jesus during this first vision.
Well, and I think even from the quotes from the LDS leaders themselves, I think they give that impression. Ezra Taft Benson, we quote in the first paragraph, and this is what he said: the first vision of the prophet Joseph Smith is bedrock theology to the church. The adversary knows this and has attacked Joseph Smith's credibility from the day he announced the visitation of the Father and the Son. You should always bear testimony to the truth of the first vision. Joseph Smith did see the Father and the Son. They conversed with him as he said they did. Any leader who, without reservation, cannot declare his testimony that God and Jesus Christ appeared to Joseph Smith can never be a true leader, a true shepherd. If we do not accept this truth, if we have received a witness about this great revelation, we cannot inspire faith in those whom we lead. So the way that he lays it out, he actually talked to them. There was actually a physical thing that was happening here. I think if I were just an average person reading what Benson said, I would take that
well,
too.
Well, we need to go on in that same quotation of Benson, because Benson seems to give the impression that he did not see the first vision as a mental apparition.
Okay, yes, you're right.
He says, some of our own members have attempted to interpret the experiences of Joseph Smith and his revelations. They say that it really is not important whether or not Joseph Smith actually saw God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. What matters, they claim, is that he thought he did. That is preposterous.
That's quoted in a church manual as well, Church History in the Fullness of Times Teacher's Manual. So that wasn't just his opinion.
Well, Benson raises a very interesting question for me, though, because he says the adversary knows this and has attacked Joseph Smith's credibility from the day he announced the visitation of the Father and the Son. I have a quiz for our Mormon listeners. When did he announce that? Now, most Mormons we talk to assume that he was talking about the first vision from the very beginning.
1820.
If that's when the so-called vision took place, then that means that Joseph Smith, and at least in their mind, they are assuming that Joseph Smith was talking about the first vision from the very beginning, before the Mormon Church was actually founded. What we include in this book is evidence to show that Smith was never talking about the first vision in the early years of the Mormon Church. And furthermore, not only was he not discussing this first vision, it doesn't come about really publicly for many years after the Mormon Church is founded, which probably explains why so many Mormon leaders who did talk about the first vision later on didn't tell the same story. Sometimes they would say an angel showed up or angels showed up. They're not always consistent. But one thing we can prove is that it did not happen in 1820 as Joseph Smith claims. And why is that? Because he says the reason why he decided to go and pray as to which church was true was the result of what he saw in the behavior of some of the Christian churches in the area where he lived in Palmyra, New York, when a revival took place, a religious excitement. And he gives us some description of what that revival was like. He said there were great multitudes that were added to the churches involved. The participating denominations included the Baptist, Methodist, and Presbyterian churches, and that the religious excitement resulted in confusion and strife among the groups involved. Because of those descriptions that he gives us, we can pinpoint exactly what religious excitement he's talking about. And folks, that religious excitement, that revival he's referring to, did not take place in 1820. That particular revival took place in 1824.
We have a booklet by Wesley Walters called The Palmyra Revival and Mormon Origins. That's available through our ministry.
It was originally known as New Light on Mormon Origins. We've reprinted it. We've given it a new cover and a new title that is available from Mormonism Research Ministry.
It's a small, small booklet, but it's a good book to go through and get a good grasp and proving what you just said, 1824, because a lot of Mormons are going to deny that. Because if that's true, then the first vision wasn't of God the Father and Jesus, but it would be nobody different than Moroni himself in 1823.
Exactly, because Moroni supposedly shows up to Joseph Smith and tells him about the gold plates, and every Mormon that I know of believes that took place in 1823. So if the revival Smith is describing really didn't take place until 1824, the first vision, if you will, would be Moroni.
Well, and that would throw everything off kilter. And this has to be the foundational piece of this. This is the cornerstone of this religion. Mm-hmm. If the first vision did not happen, and the leaders, and we quote them in this chapter, if that did not happen, they said, then this whole religion comes down. Same with the Book of Mormon. If the Book of Mormon is not true, then the religion comes down. Well, if they're going to admit to that, then I think we need to tackle these issues.
I think these are fair questions. And I usually like to preface it by saying, look, if you want me to join this church, if you want me to be convinced that your church is true and that your truth claims are accurate, you need to convince me. Sometimes Mormons will say, well, that's not important to me. What you need to do, Christian, is this. Well, it may not be important to you, but it is important to me. If you're trying to convince me of Mormonism's truth claims, I would like a sensible answer to this. How do you explain this apparent anomaly in your history? The Mormon may not care, but I think we as Christians talking to our Mormon friends about this, we need to show that we do have a sincere interest in the answers to these questions.
Well, in the whole last section of our book, we have six sections. This whole last section is all about Joseph Smith and the history of this church. And if this history doesn't work out, again, I'm going to say the whole religion falls apart. So we need to know a little bit. If you want to have intelligent conversations with a Latter-day Saint, you need to know a little bit about this so you can tackle this issue when they bring out that they believe that Joseph Smith was a true prophet of God. Well, how do you respond to that? You need to know a little bit about the first vision in the Book of Mormon itself.
Yeah, and I think most Mormons understand that this is a serious problem, because if there was no first vision, Joseph Smith is definitely lying.
Oh, yeah.
And if he's lying about something like this,
the whole thing
starts to crumble. Yeah. And it's the Mormons themselves that have made these foundations so important, one of which, of course, is the first vision. The second foundational issue would be the gold plates and the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. Mormon leaders themselves have said, if these two issues in Mormon history can be disproved, then they have some serious problems. And in fact, it was Gordon Hinckley that said that we would be involved in a great blasphemy. Why would he say that? Because I think Gordon Hinckley understood that to claim to be visited by God the Father in Jesus, and claiming also that God has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's, certainly strikes us as Bible-believing Christians as a blasphemous statement, to say the least. And if that did not happen, if that is not what God is like, then we would be right, and Mormonism would be wrong. So I think Hinckley understood the serious ramifications if this was not true. What we do in this chapter is we show, using a Mormon historian's research, James B. Allen, where he talks about the first vision, and he admits that this was not an issue in the early years. He says this: according to Joseph Smith, he told the story of the vision immediately after it happened in the early spring of 1820. As a result, he said, he received immediate criticism in the community. There is little, if any, evidence, and I find that wording quite interesting coming from a historian. What do you mean there is little, if any? Is there or isn't there? You'd think he would know the answer to that. But he says there is little, if any, evidence, however, that by the early 1830s, Joseph Smith was telling the story in public. And he goes on to say, and no one was criticizing him for it. What basically we have here is a Mormon historian admitting Joseph Smith was not telling the truth when he said that he was being persecuted for his first vision experience in the early years of the church. Allen says there's no evidence of that. There's no evidence that anybody was criticizing him for that.
Well, we've talked about this book called Answering Mormon's Questions, Ready Responses for Inquiring Latter-day Saints, written by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. And this is now available with Kriegel Publication. Kriegel Publishers have put this out, Grand Rapids. It should be available all over the place, on the internet, you know, all the different places. We do have it available on our website. Also, if people want to help us get books into the public library system in Utah, we are going to have a chance for people to be able to donate. Just go onto our main website and you can learn how you can do that as well.
For a gift of $50, we will send you an autographed copy, plus we will also donate a copy to a public library. Because let's be serious, a lot of Mormons probably would not want to buy a book like this, but they may want to check one out for free at a public library, so we want to give them opportunity for that. If you want to help us with that project, please, we encourage you to do so, and you can find more information at mrm.org.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered how to answer questions you were asked by Latter-day Saints? Well, a new resource by Kriegel Publishers and written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson is exactly what you need. Answering Mormons' Questions is a 300-page book covering 36 common questions that Mormons often pose, such as, how do you justify the doctrine of the Trinity? Well, now you will have the ability to respond to them with sound biblical reasoning. The book includes a glossary of common LDS terms and has study questions at the end of each chapter. Help us make this book available to Mormon readers. For your gift of $50, we will send you an autographed copy and then donate another copy to a Utah public library. It's simple. Just go to the MRM website at www.mrm.org and visit the bookstore where you can order it online. Again, that's mrm.org. Answering Mormons' Questions. It's a resource every Christian needs.